You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Check it out now.
All right, following our show at 7 o'clock, Chris Carlin. Yeah. Chris really works, you know, because I was listening to the Robert Saleh Zoom call with the media. Chris was on it asking questions. Beautiful man. Beautiful
man. He's a
pro. Pro's pro.
Oh, yeah. Handsome.
You know that. Handsome, you said?
That's right.
And you get on Michael from analyzing.
Real quick, we can come back to this. So Ballard writes about the Packers, waxes poetic about the Packers at a Packers nerd website called packtothefuture.com. Okay. But he writes really good articles. I'm just starting his piece. He wrote an article about how both Rodgers and Brady have something to prove this weekend or want to prove something. I don't know if anyone thinks they need to, but they both want to. But I just started it, but I will say I agree with the first thing he said. He said he was disappointed that the Packers and Bucks are the 3 o'clock game. I got to say, I agree with that part wholeheartedly.
Well, they alternate. It's just that's, you know, bad timing.
It's just a bummer this year, especially can you imagine if we don't get Mahomes, if it's just Chad Henne versus Josh Allen in the primetime slot and Brady Rodgers at 3?
You are getting Mahomes, number one. Number two.
You don't know that.
Just from the outside looking in, it just seems to me that Ballard is a colossal doofus.
I don't know why you got to insult the guy, really.
I thought I'd say that.
He's a good writer.
Okay, good. Good for him. Dan Orlovsky is good. He's good. He's a great broadcaster, and he joins us now. Dan, it's Michael, Don, and Peter. How you doing?
I'm doing well, guys. Good to be with you.
We just had on about an hour ago Robert Saleh. And I'll tell you what, he impressed the heck out of us. What's your take about Saleh and the Jets hiring him?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the best hire of the offseason. I've said that even better than Urban Meyer. You know, I know Robert. I was with him for a couple of years when he was just kind of getting his feet wet when it comes to coaching into the NFL. And so I think the thing that stood out about him that I would just hear in the locker room, guys talking about Robert, was how great he was at listening. You know, the communication aspect is such a listen first, speak second thing when it comes to coaching. And you would always hear guys talking about how good he was at listening, what their input was, and what was working or what adjustment was needed to get made. And that really stood out. Obviously, energy is off the charts, right? And I think the thing that I love about him as a kind of the performance is, you know, thriving in adversity. So often coaches will get hired because for a year or two they got an all-pro quarterback and three wide receivers that catch for 1,500 yards or a defensive coach that got, you know, 7 Pro Bowlers. And all of a sudden, like, the coach has got to figure out a way to coach lesser players once he becomes the head coach. You know, they lost a lot this year in San Francisco, and they were still really good. And then I love the staff he's bringing. I mean, I've said this, the NFL – right now, the good offenses either have a freakazoid at quarterback or they come from the Mike Shanahan type of tree. You look at Green Bay and Cleveland and Minnesota and Tennessee and San Francisco. So the fact that he's bringing Matt LaFleur's brother with him to run his offense, I love.
Now, we've seen great assistants not translate. So what's the biggest jump? What's the biggest thing that he maybe doesn't realize or isn't ready for when he takes over the helm as a head coach?
I mean, obviously, you're the person in the chair now. Everything falls upon you. Every single thing falls upon you, not just hey, did my defense play well, but does my football team play well? Is my football team prepared to play well? I think the connecting with everybody on your team as players is hugely important. You got to gain those guys' trust. You have to gain that those guys can look at you and go, okay, I could become better because of you. And if I become better, then I make more money. So how does Robert Saleh kind of do that and prove himself to those players? And the reality is this, like, they got to get good players. You know, like, good players make good coaches more often than not. And so, you know, I think the big thing is really realizing how important and trusting the general manager and his player selecting is going to be.
Dan, if you're the Jets and they have a treasure trove of draft collateral, would you empty it to get Deshaun Watson? And can you, as an NFL person, actually even fathom that the Texans might move this guy?
I'd absolutely empty it. And, you know, nothing shocks me in the NFL. Nothing. And I think it's absolutely stupid to trade Deshaun Watson. But once a player like his makes it very clear that he's not happy, and it's a bad situation down there. I know some people down there, and I've had some conversations. It's worse than even, you know, people are allowed to report it so poorly, the stuff that has been said and shared. So I think that they will trade him just because they'll have no choice. But it would be moronic to trade him in conference. I know that. Like, you've already handled it poorly. Don't double down on the dumbness of it and keep them in the AFC. So if I were the Jets, absolutely. I'll give you the pick. I'll give you Sam. I'll give you my pick next year. I'll give you my pick the following year. I'll give you my pick the following year. Like, I think 3 or 4 ones and Sam is absolutely worth it. Deshaun is out of this world good.
So you're saying that if you're Houston, you would trade out of the 2 or 3 pick to get him out of the conference?
Well, I mean, I don't want to keep him in conference if I'm Houston. Like, if there's a team in the NFC that is somewhere near that selection, like, here's the thing, like, if you're Nick Caserio, right, the new general manager, and you realize, like, I have no choice, as dumb as you know it is, do you want to deal with him for the next 10 years, or do you want to go San Francisco, give us Jimmy Garoppolo, who I know from New England, who I liked in New England, who I loved in New England, give us him, and, you know, 2 or 3 first-rounders, 4 first-rounders, something like that, and I get him out of my conference, I would entertain that more, absolutely, because I don't want to deal with him for the next 10 years.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
All right, I've always wondered this in these situations. I wondered about James Harden, and they ended up giving in and trading him. Wondered about Anthony Davis. Guys that are under contract. Dan, so he's not happy. I can't trade one of the 4 best quarterbacks in the league. So why don't they say, you're either going to play for us or you will not play ever again? Why don't they ever do that?
Well, I think that you got to get the slippery slope, because at some point you want to get other people to come to your organization. You
right.
want other players to come to your organization. So once you and agents are powerful, you know, like you scar an agent and they'll use that against you. And so, it's a slippery slope. And I think that, you know, guys that are like Deshaun that have made some money now that he signed his deal, you know, they can play the hardball game as well. And so, fine, I'm not going to play and just. It becomes such a disaster and such a mess that they make it abundantly clear, I'm not playing for you no matter what. I will sit. You better try to do something to get some form of a value once it's eventually just a complete disaster.
Now, Dan, it's interesting that we're talking about Deshaun and a relationship with ownership, because you spoke eloquently today on NFL Live about the problem that exists for black coaches in this league. And I say that recognizing that we're about to be 4 white guys having this conversation, but it's important that we have it. What can possibly be done? As Eric Bieniemy appears to be on the outside looking in again, what can possibly be done to change this system and allow for more black coaches. I mean, short of just demanding new ownership, because this problem, Dan, seems to stem all the way from the top. It's a business you know better than us. We're friends. It's friends and family and people who know people, and it just seems like we are doomed, as things are now, to not have enough diversity in head coaching.
Yeah. First of all, I think it's important that it's four white dudes to have the conversation, because I know I've got black friends who need me to have this conversation for them. You know, that need me to be honest about it for them. So it brings more, I guess, credibility to the conversation. And so, listen, the NFL, I think as a league, I think the NFL has tried. I really do. I think that I heard Adam Schefter say it this week, they're frustrated. I think they've tried to incentivize things. We know about the 2 third-round picks. I thought that Dominique Foxworth brought up a good point, I want to say almost a year ago, and I don't know the business workings and what's allowed and what's not allowed, but, like, I think that NFL owners, why are you hiring this person, or why did you not hire that person other than we just felt it was the right fit? And, I don't know if that crosses business owner lines type of thing, but – I think that the NFL, it's worthy for the NFL as a league, and for other owners, and for players and for fan bases to have reasoning behind an organization like, you know, the Jets or the Lions or the Jacksonville Jaguars, going, we hired Dan Campbell over Eric Bieniemy because of this, or we didn't hire Eric Bieniemy because of this, and come out and tell people why. Because right now, again, I say this as a white guy who experienced the benefits of being white and a backup quarterback and performing well and, okay, you're good. Like, I sit here going, how does Eric Bieniemy at least not get an opportunity to fail in the NFL? You know, like, well, we're talking about Mike Kafka, the quarterback coach, almost having just as much of an opportunity of his future. And I know Mike. I love Mike. He's going to be a head coach. But I just don't understand how Eric Bieniemy or Byron Leftwich or Raheem Morris, like, there's plenty of really good black coaches. And I don't know the answer, but there's got to be more clarity as why decisions are being made.
See, I think the key there, Dan, we don't know the answer, because you cannot in this country – force an owner to hire somebody. And you have, I think you've got to get behind that. You've got to understand why there are no black owners. That might be the next step. But you can't tell somebody who owns a business who has $2 billion invested in it, this person must be hired by you. I just don't think it can be done.
Completely agree. And I don't even know, again, I don't even know if you can tell them, well, you have to tell us why you didn't hire a person. You know, I played football, so I don't have all these details. But I think at the end of the day, the NFL has to take a step back, and the people that are the most impactful, those 31 owners, have to sit back and go, okay, what really is great? Because the NFL is very much focused on growth, right? Growth in every aspect. Well, what is really going to be beneficial for more growth when it comes to that league? Yes, performance and all that stuff, but one of the great things that could happen is more minority guys getting the opportunity to become head coaches, being successful when those opportunities present itself, and really looking at it as a very much so like this inclusive league for both white and black people, rather than being very top heavy.
Well, maybe what you can do is also take the excuses away, right, Dan? Like, I'm wondering, for anybody that says, well, give him a break. Bieniemy's coached in the championship game the last 3 years. And look, almost all the jobs are gone before we get to the championship game. Could you do something where you aren't allowed to hire a coach until after the Super Bowl is over, so that all the candidates that are on playoff teams get an equal shot?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think that they've altered those rules as well. Like, I think Bieniemy's been allowed to do Zoom interviews even though they're still in the playoffs. And, like, here's the thing. You know, because, like, everybody's constantly moving the reasoning why, the excuses. He doesn't interview well. Guys, Adam Gase got 2 head coaching jobs. We think he smashed the interview process. You know, Mina Kimes brought this up the other day. Like, he's got baggage. Urban just got the Jacksonville job. That's not to take a shot at Urban, but, like, come on. So, yeah, I think that, you know, again, I believe that the league is trying. I believe that the league is trying, and it's good that everybody's having these conversations. But I think at some point it's going to take an owner that doesn't look like the head coaching hire of a black man to stick his neck out there and go, okay, that guy's really good. That's really good, okay? He's really smart. He's a great leader. He's got all these traits I want. And this is not just a great head coaching hire for football. I'm going to take this step forward and make this great head coaching hire for our league. You know, and I believe that some owners have done that, but we need more.
All right, before we let you go, Dan, who's winning this weekend?
Yeah, I think Kansas City wins, mainly because they've been forced to play in a style that they don't love, run game, and they've shown that they can. Buffalo, who I absolutely adore, hasn't been able to do that. So if they have to, I don't trust. And then Green Bay. I think Green Bay just creates too much offense.
Well, I think we lost Dan, but we got everything that we could possibly have wanted out of him. So he likes Green Bay, and he likes Kansas City.
He's going chalk.
Chalk. We'll make our picks tomorrow, but come back, we've got some giving away to do. And then ENN, and then Eric LeGrand. What a show. Kay LaGreca, Rosenberg, and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.